This call is being recorded.
Happy New Year, and welcome to podcast number one for Reach for the Wall. I'm your host, Rich House, and I'm pleased to have as our first guest, Jay Peluso. Jay is the owner and race director of Ignite Swim Run. And you know, at the beginning of each year, everyone has their resolutions to become more active, lose some weight, or perform some other great achievement during the year. And through social media stuff, I've been recently bombarded with ads about different events. And one that keeps popping up in my feed is the Ignite Swim Run in Maryland. Swim Run is a fairly new format for outdoor racing where you can participate as a team to complete the swim run course. And as you know, in the DMV, we are full of athletes that compete year-round in triathlons, swimming, and running events. The Ignite Swim Run seems to be a great fit and a great challenge for athletes in our area. With that, I'd like to introduce Jay, and he can give us the lowdown on the event he's holding in our area. Jay, welcome.
Thanks, House. It's good to be on. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. So tell me about the Ignite Swim Run event that is going on in Maryland, May the 12th.
Man, we are excited about this event. So the swim run sport itself is pretty new in the United States. There's a handful of races, although they are popping up more and more as we go along. But the sport itself started in Sweden, and these guys on a drunken bet, like most good events, how they start, decided they were going to swim and run across the archipelago in Sweden. And so they did it. And when they did it, it was only a couple of guys. And next year, there's a couple more guys. Next year, a couple more girls and guys at this point. And so it has really exploded in Sweden and in Europe. It's made its way over to the United States. And what we're finding is that these athletes who are endurance athletes, Ironman athletes, triathletes in particular, trail running, ultra runners, are really getting into it. It's one of the greatest parts about the sport is that it's a team event, so that you do it with a partner, and it's not a relay, but a team event. So you have to stay together the entire time, and that camaraderie is really made the sport very popular. When you listen to athletes after an event is over, and as they commiserate about all the stuff that they had just accomplished, all they want to do is just do it again. Yeah, it's really cool.
So you don't have any big fist fights afterwards, you know, that someone was holding the other one back or anything like that?
Well, we do joke because there's three categories. There's an all-male, so you can be two guys, two women, or a mixed category. And sometimes we have married couples, and we always say, you guys are going to love each other after this, or we've got divorce lawyers on staff.
I was
so
going to say,
so
yeah. Yeah, you have some lawyers in the crowd, so absolutely they would be ready to sit down and do some counseling, huh?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I'll tell you, one of the things about the swim run is that makes it different from triathlon. I mean, obviously there's no bike, but the courses are dictated by the terrain. So when we do triathlon course production, we're looking for a 56-mile bike course for a half or 112 for a full. And if, God forbid, we're at 56 and a half or 55, athletes get pretty annoyed with us if that happens. Swim run's totally different. Right. Whatever the terrain dictates, that's the distance. Now, we're looking to make it is an endurance event, and so we don't want it to be too short, but we don't want it to be too long. But each of the legs, a swim leg or a run leg, is really dictated by the terrain. And so any race that you do is going to be different from the race that you do someplace else. And even with that, some races are going to change from year to year. Like our event in Richmond uses the James River. Well, first year we did it, James River was about 5 feet at the gauge that we used. And this year it was at about 3.5 feet. So that race completely changed for people who had done it before, which makes it an epic experience all the time.
Sure, you'd be slogging through the mud in 3.5 feet. That makes it a little bit tougher. Yeah.
Rocks and things like that. But you know what? That's kind of what it's all about is, hey, take whatever nature gives you and see what you can do with it.
Now, the one you're holding in Maryland, it's at the Greenbrier State Park. And how did you come about that facility? And you know, the terrain there is extremely difficult, you know, in terms of the running terrain. How did you, get the facility and get the state really to allow you to hold the event there?
Well, a couple things. Well, my partner Danny owns Ripit Events, which is based out of Columbia, Maryland. So we knew we wanted to do an event in Maryland, and we started scouting around. We like to use parks if we can, because it eliminates. So when we put on a triathlon, for example, we're closing roads and using the police, and kind of can be inconvenient for people who aren't involved with the race. But when we do the swim run event, it's completely opposite. We use trails and parks.
Right.
And so it doesn't impact the general citizen who doesn't care that the race is going on, but we're able to still bring that economic impact into the area without inconveniencing the average citizen. So we were looking at state parks, and we actually went up and met with the DNR and kind of went over which parks might work and which wouldn't. We had planned to do it in another location, but it just didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to. And then we ended up at Greenbrier. So we've been there a couple of times and had some conversations, and we've got our permit approved now with them. One of the things that also makes us different is we do not hold our events in a state park like this during the season. So their season is typically Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Right.
If you want to do an event, then forget it. But we do it outside of that where it's not quite as busy. And so now we're bringing money to the park because we pay the park for every person who comes in. We pay the park. They make some money on the shoulder seasons, which isn't quite as busy for them. And so that's kind of how it worked. And
the win-win.
I think they're really excited about it. Yeah, and the hotels in the area and the Convention Visitors Bureau are very excited to have us.
Sure, sure. And the cold water won't make anybody shy away from attending this event either, because I understand there's some attire that that you can wear during the event and utilize during the race that benefits the participants. Can you talk a little bit about how people should be dressed to compete in this event?
Yeah, so Attilo style, which is swim run, the Sweden style racing, it's usually very cold water actually, and so that's part of the sport. But because you swim and then run and then swim and then run, typically you're going to kind of heat up. What our feedback has been from athletes, yeah, the water was cold, but by the time I got done with that 3-mile run or 6-mile run, I was ready to get in the cold water. So it actually is really nice. But athletes, we do have some rules about what they should or have to wear. They're wetsuits, so any triathletes in your audience are familiar with the triathlon wetsuit. And a lot of our racers right now, since it's a new sport, are using triathlon wetsuits, shorties typically, so cut above their knee. A lot of people are using old ones that they pick up offline to test it out to see if they like the sport. Give us a plug for our new wetsuit sponsor, Colting Wetsuits, which is out of Sweden. They are swim run specific designed wetsuits. They're amazing. And they have a couple of different attributes that make them specific to swim run. The biggest one is that the zipper for it is in the front. And the reason for that is you do swim and then run and then swim and then run. And so a lot of guys like to take the top of the wetsuit down to their waist during the swim, and then they'll put it back on. And it's much easier to do
right.
If that zipper is in the front. And so that's,
yeah, it would be pretty funny to see people trying to reach around to their back, squirming around. I always thought that was sort of the funniest thing during the start of a triathlon race, to see people sort of squirm around to figure out how to get their zippers all pulled up and tucked in and everything. So
yeah, so this does make that a lot easier. And so you can transition from swim to run or run to swim a lot faster. So there's the wetsuit part of it. There's also a little bit heavier neoprene in the quads because people do swim in their shoes, which is something that a lot of triathletes have to get used to. The idea of swimming in their shoes usually freaks them out a little bit, but what our experience has been that people have not had issues at all. And so obviously, just like anything else, there are specific swim run shoes.
I was
so
going to ask that.
Barefoot,
yes.
Vivo Barefoot is one of the top in the world, and they work very closely with the Otillo, which is the World Championships. And they've got, these are specific shoes that are designed to drain very easily, but also be comfortable during your run. So it's kind of like a sock inner liner to it, so you don't even have to wear socks. Although, honestly, for folks who are just giving it a try, Right. Most of our triathletes are wearing their typical running shoes with a lightweight sock, and they're not having any issues because.
And then, do they change out when they go into their run, and they're just running sloshing through?
Running sloshing through, and okay. it's not been an issue for folks, and they, obviously you practice with it, but yeah. There are some, some running. Look, you can wear a real thick. Hoka Ultra style shoe, if that's your typical running shoe, and that might get a little heavy. But there's plenty of running shoes out there that will drain. Honestly, the Vivo Barefoot is the best, and that's what we recommend to our athletes to use. They'll drain right away, and you'll be off and running in no time. And part of that also, so because of the shoe issue, there's you're allowed to use pull buoy and paddles, and so that is, which throws a lot of triathletes and swimmers are like, what, pull buoy and paddles? But the rule is anything that you bring into the race, you have to carry with you the entire time.
Okay, so are you bringing the fanny pack back? Is that what you're doing?
Some have a buoy, inflatable dry bag that they'll put behind them, because you are required to carry some other safety gear as well. So you've got the pull buoys typically are designed so that there's a bungee strap and you keep it around your quad and you slide it out to the outside of your leg when you're running and then slide it in between your leg you're swimming.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really bother folks. And then the paddles are standard strap paddles, not the Finis strapless, but you're going to want to use the strap paddles. And that way you can just spin them off your wrist because some of the terrain, like you mentioned, Maryland is one, but we've got races in Minnesota and Block Island and Rhode Island, the one in Richmond. So there's a little bit of climbing involved sometimes. And so you're going to want to have your hands available and you just slide the paddle out of the way and it works fine. The other thing is a tether. So you're allowed to tether to your partner. You're required to stay within 10 meters of your partner at all times. And that's a safety issue because we're running in, as you mentioned, the trails and things like that. So, EMS is always on site, but sometimes you're a little bit out in the middle of nowhere, and so we want to make sure that we can get to you. And having a partner helps with that. If you have a major issue, then having a partner helps. And you are required to carry some first aid material with you during the race, just in case something happens that needs immediate attention. And all the teams are required. If you're a team and you come across a team that is injured, you are required by rule to stop and assist. If you do not, then you're disqualified. So safety is a prime, big time issue with us is the safety aspect.
Absolutely. And I guess that helps with the building of camaraderie amongst the competitors. And then speaking of the competitors, how many participants can one of these races really hold? What are you looking for in terms of, the participant size?
Yeah, it really depends on your event and your venue. So each of our venues is slightly different, and so we can handle more or less in different venues. What we're doing, any first-year event that we are putting on, we are capping at 50 teams. 50 teams, and so that would be any first-year event that we do, we want to make sure that everything is absolutely perfect for the athlete. Safety, as I said, is our prime objective. And so by keeping it at that small level, we can ensure that we are doing everything possible to make the experience perfect. Once we've done a venue a few times, we can expand. And so our national championship, which is in Richmond, Virginia, we've hosted that event 2 years now. So that event will be larger, but the first year events are going to be capped at 50.
Gotcha. And I saw on the sign up already, you have 16 registered, which is great. I think you started advertising, late in December and, through the, this part of January, you've already, had over a fifth of your entry field is there. So things are moving. And I'd encourage, our listeners in the DMV to go ahead and get on the website and get signed up to attack this race. I think it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event. So talk to me about some of the attraction to events, running and swimming or what have you, are either the apparel that you get afterwards or just the after party Are those some of the attractions that you're offering as well, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to put on an event experience, and we have a mandatory athlete briefing the night before each event, and there's a dinner there, and that's when the race director, which is me, we'll go over the course. We do a kind of an audio-visual presentation of the course just to give the athletes an idea of what they're getting into if they haven't scouted the course. We always do the course ahead of time on that day before the meeting, so we know if something's popped up between last time we were there and the race. So that's a really cool experience, kind of bonding. Everybody's a little nervous, and so we start with that. We are the Ignite Swim Run Series, and our motto is we're here to ignite the fire within you as an athlete. So you'll see some let's just say pyrotechnics are part of our motif. I don't want to give anything away, but it's going to be pretty cool. And then after the event, then we have our post-race party, and that's always a good time. The athletes seem to that's the time where the athletes really get together and talk about, I can't believe we just did X, or can you believe? So, like, for example, our Richmond event, they have to cross a Class 2 rapid at one point, and you see them come through, and they're looking at each other, and they get out of the water, and typically they're just laughing or smiling, like, I can't believe we just did that. All the courses have some sort of major obstacle that you're going to have to, and some of them have a lot of them. And so just that post-race party is so full of energy, and people are usually like, I can't believe we did that. That was so much fun. That said, these are not easy. You need to train for these. You don't want to just show up and in the Maryland one, for example, it's a 16.2 mile race with 2.1 miles of swimming and 14.1 miles of running. So you're going to want to train for it.
For the people who are training, 2.1 miles of swimming is roughly about 3,700 yards in the water. Is that about right?
Yeah.
So you're talking, you know, when you're training for an event like this, you got to put in some serious work. It's not, a half hour of swimming and you're done.
No. Now, I will say this, that none of the swims in the Maryland race, each one of the swims is about 650 meters. So you're going to do 650 meters, then you're going to run. Then you're going to do 650 meters, and then you're going to run. And some of our other races have swims that are a mile and a half. So you really need to scout, you know, the location, know what you're getting into, and then train accordingly. That said, of all of our events, Maryland, I would say, is the most novice-friendly event. So
okay.
If you are looking to give this sport a try and you've never done it before, that is the race that I would highly recommend people start out with. Although the terrain for the trail runs is difficult, you can always walk a trail run, and the markings are very easy, so it's easy to follow. It's a looped course, which a lot of our courses are not. And so because of the loop nature of it, you're going to see your family and friends a lot. And the climbing in and out of the various swims is not nearly as difficult as it is in some other races. So it's really a great, hey, what is this sport all about event.
Right. And what is the general time frame for participants to complete the course? Is there a cutoff limit like there would be in a triathlon, or is it, as long as it takes you?
Yeah, there's a cutoff, and each one is different depending on the course. Obviously, some courses are much harder than others. And so for Maryland, the fastest guys will probably do this course somewhere around 3.5 hours. And then we usually, our cutoff will be 6.5 hours. So most folks we find can complete the distance within 6.5 hours.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. So for the novices that want to give it a try, under 6.5 hours, you're going to be out there and, getting your swim and run in. So that, it's a good amount of time. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, most of our athletes that we are finding are guys or women who have done a handful of Ironman races, and they're kind of looking for the next thing. And so they're endurance athletes, either ultra, they've done, the JFK 50 miler or something like that. So these are serious endurance athletes. That said, we have some folks who are in that 6.5 hour range, and most of them have done some sort of endurance event in the past, and we make sure that they've trained for the event.
Yeah, and Jay, you're no stranger to endurance events. I've known you for a little while, and you've competed in a few Ironman and sprint tries and things of that nature. How did you fall into doing the event management side of things, you know, outside of being a competitor?
Well, I was I was a lawyer, and in my spare time, I was race directing for the local triathlon club, and just as a volunteer. And then Rev3 Triathlon, which is my full time employer right now, is produces large scale triathlon events up and down the East Coast. We do Ironman Maine is one of our events, and they had a need for a race director in Williamsburg for an event they were putting on. And somehow got my name and reached out to me, and I so I worked with them as just as a kind of a contractor for a couple of seasons, and went from there into doing we put on a really, really cool event called Rev3 Rush, which was a triathlon inside of Richmond International Raceway, and so the bike portion was on the NASCAR track, and I worked with them on that, and that was just so much fun. And kind of from there, they asked if I wanted to come on full time, and I decided to go ahead and do it. And so that's how it started. And then from there, it's just kind of taken off. And once you start doing these events, you kind of get into that world, and people want to put on events, and they kind of reach out to you and say, hey, can you help us put on this one or that one? And that's how it went.
Right. And in a calendar year, how many events do you, what's your capacity? What can you handle?
Good question. So in a calendar year right now, I'm doing between 15 and 16 events. They are everything from, I mean, we have a 10-mile open water swim event to full distance triathlons to swim run now.
Right.
We have a full distance aqua bike that we just announced. So people who are getting ready to do an Ironman, want to do that 2.4-mile swim and a 112-mile bike, but they're saving that marathon leg for the actual race day. We just announced that. And so it's a lot of different types of events, but they're all fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In you know, the years that you've put on events, what's been your wheelhouse? What have you enjoyed doing the most?
Wow. That's a great question. I mean, I think, well, my favorite event of all time, was that Rev3 Rush, which was the race inside the NASCAR track. We literally built a 25-meter pool inside the track. So we had a swim venue, and as I said, they bike on the track and they run a loop, basically a couple times, that is just inside on the infield. It was draft legal. It was, because of the event, you could see the entire race. We didn't have to close any roads. It was super fast, and every one of the athletes was treated like a pro because they all had their individual rack right at the end of the pool. And then when they left, we brought in the next heat. I mean, it just was the coolest experience. And so that was probably my favorite.
That's cool. You didn't have him doing any repeats up turn number three at the track, no?
Yeah, that was. We cautioned them. Look, if you want to go, those things are steep. You say you can ride up there, but if you do, you're going to lose the draft. And if you lose the draft, you probably don't want to do that. And so most of them didn't go too high in the corners, which made me feel better, because we did have ambulances on standby on the infield, but we actually. It was a very safe event. The only time we had one crash, and that was a pro female athlete who clipped the front wheel of an athlete in front of her, and she still finished the race, and that was it. But, man, it was exciting to watch.
No doubt, no doubt. So with the Ignite Swim Run events, you have three planned for this year, this one in Maryland on May the 12th. And then did I see Minnesota? Is that right?
Yeah, so, yeah, Minnesota. We've got four this year, so three brand new ones, which are Maryland, Minnesota, and Block Island out in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And then our national championship.
That's your stomping grounds, right? Block Island out there?
Yeah. So that's, I know what you're thinking. Minnesota, how the heck did you guys end up in Minnesota?
Exactly.
We have a guy on our staff who is from Minnesota, who has been nagging me to put on an event in Minnesota for years. And they actually have this amazing place out there called the Cuyuna State Recreation Area. And it was an old mining town. And when the mining company left, they left all these big mine pits, which are these beautiful, beautiful, crystal clear lakes all over the place and surrounded by mountains. And so what the town did when the mining company left, it kind of depressed the town. So they have built world-class mountain biking trails all throughout it. And these are absolutely top-of-the-line mountain bike trails. In fact, they were rated by the World Mountain Biking Association as a silver medal mountain biking area. And I asked them, why not gold? I've never seen anything as perfect as this. They said the reason was we don't have enough breweries or hotels in town. And they were being serious.
Very important to have proper sustenance out there.
So we went out there and scouted and looked at everything, and breweries are starting to pop up, so they'll be gold medal soon enough. But it is absolutely the most beautiful place. Not to mention you've got all these repeat lakes that are crystal clear. Some of them though are 500 feet deep, so we can't drop buoys in them. So we're going to mark the courses with kayaks. So swimmers will follow kayaks, and the trails are phenomenal. It'll be a difficult course. It's mountainous, but that's kind of what this is all about. And then,
so people looking for a good destination race, they should seek out Minnesota.
Absolutely. I would say that that's going to be one of our most popular.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and sort of wrap things up here with this conversation. Jay, can you give us how long do people have to sign up for Swim Run Maryland? Go ahead.
Yeah, Swim Run Maryland will be May the 12th over in Greenbrier State Park in Boonesboro. And we've got a price bump coming up at the end of March. So sign up before then so you get the best pricing. And we'll be taking registrations until we fill up, and we expect that it'll sell out early. Technically, we won't close registration until, I'm sorry, I said May 12th. May the 19th is this event. And we will be taking registrations right up until the end if we don't sell out, but we expect that that we'll sell out. And I'm wrong. It is May the 12th. This is what happens when you have 15 or 16 events. And you're looking at your event calendar.
I know. I keep throwing the different ones at you and confusing the issue. I thought it was May the 12th. I just want to make sure. No, that's great. And what a better way to, you know, for the new parents out there to celebrate Mother's Day weekend, go out there, do a swim run, and, you know, feel like you've conquered the world and, you know, celebrate the moms. It's fantastic. No better way to do it.
There's a reason we race on Saturdays, Rich.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, it was a pleasure speaking with you and learning more about the Swim Run event. And I wish you the best of luck for all the events that you're running this season, and hope that we can catch up with you again soon.
It's fantastic. Rich, I'm saving a space for you and your partner. We'll see you out there, buddy.
Very good. Thanks.
All right. See you.